greeting you in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus Christ. Turning with me to the book of Jonah, the 4th chapter, the 6th through the 11th verse from the New Revised Standard Version. Jonah, the 4th chapter, verse number 6 through 11, reads these words: "The Lord God appointed a bush and made it come up over Jonah to give shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. When the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint and asked that he might die. He said, 'It is better for me to die than to live.' But God said to Jonah, 'It is right. Is it right for you to be angry about the bush?' And he said, 'Yes, angry enough to die.' Then the Lord said, 'You are concerned about the bush for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, the great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals?'" Just for a few moments, I would like to spend this with you, preaching on this subject: God has the final say. God has the final say. Jonah is the son of Amittai. He is a prophet from Gath-Hepher. This short book contains 4 scenes and 4 chapters. The first 2 chapters tell a familiar story. God tells Jonah to go to Nineveh, the capital city of Assyria. And Assyria was the primary enemy of Israel, Judah, from the 9th through 7th centuries BCE. However, Jonah was reluctant. He boarded a ship headed not to Nineveh, but to Tarshish. And Yahweh has none of this. Yahweh sends a storm. Jonah tells the people on board that he's the reason for the storm. In the end, Jonah is thrown overboard and swallowed up by a large fish. And Jonah prays to the Lord for 3 days. After 3 days, the fish vomits him up, and Jonah heads for Nineveh. This concludes chapter 2. While in Nineveh, Jonah receives a message from the Lord to tell the people of Nineveh, 40 days more at Nineveh shall be overthrown. Well, the people did not panic or talk of doom and gloom, but they did something unexpected. They believed God. The people, great and small, proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth. And sackcloth is a coarse black cloth made from goat's hair as a sign of a repentant heart. Now the news got to the king that what the people were doing, and the king issued a decree stating that no human being or animal shall eat or drink anything. All should be covered in sackcloth and cry mightily to God. All shall turn from their evil ways and the violence within their hearts. The king said unto them, "Who knows? Maybe God will change his mind. He may turn from his fierce anger so we don't perish." But when God saw what the people and animals in Nineveh did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity and overthrowing them, and God did not do it. Well, God's response to what the people of Nineveh did made Jonah angry and upset. And Jonah prayed, "Oh Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." But what a striking prayer. Shouldn't Jonah be thankful for what has taken place? Well, Jonah isn't. Jonah's more concerned with himself and his credibility. And since God saved Nineveh, Jonah's message did not come true. So Jonah is worried that he will be viewed as a false prophet. In addition to this, it is evident that Jonah is focused on his words and not the words of God. The question for us today is, are we focused on our words or on the words of God? Jonah's selfishness and pride called Jonah Jonah to be angry. And instead of being angry, Jonah's correct response should have been pleased. Jonah should have been pleased that his message, that through his message, many lives would change and many lives realign themselves back in the order of God. After all this, God asked Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? The good thing about God is that He gives second chances, and God allows us to be angry for a moment. God gives us time to cool down. And God gave Jonah this opportunity by providing a shade, by appointing a bush to come over him for the night. Jonah was so happy about this, but by the next morning, God appointed a worm to destroy the bush, so it died. Now the sultry wind and the sun, which God provided, was shining down on Jonah's face. And Jonah got angry again. Jonah asked God if he could die. Well, God responded to Jonah and asked, is it right for you to be angry about the bush? And Jonah said, yes, angry enough to die. God, you see, God extended grace to Jonah, but Jonah did not take advantage of it. Jonah was so stuck on himself that he didn't see the power of God at work. What Jonah did not see was that the purpose of Nineveh being overthrown was the sin. God wanted to get rid of the evil in Nineveh. And God did just that because the people repented. He didn't have to overthrow them. The question for us today is, do we need to repent from something? Do we need to turn away from the sins that we have committed? Do we need to turn away from some evil deeds? Well, Lent is about repenting. The season of Lent that we are in is about repenting and turning away from our sinful acts. I feel like preaching now. Now God had enough of Jonah's talk. God responded to Jonah, saying, Jonah, you are concerned about the bush, which you did not labor nor grow. It came into being in one night and perished in one night. God leaves Jonah with this question. Should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city with 120,000 people who do not know the left or the right? The interesting thing about this book is that it ends in a question. Now, most of you Bible scholars will know that ending a book with a question is kind of odd. Normally, you end the book with a statement. Normally, the chapter has a final ending. Well, this particular book ends with a question. And I ask myself, why does it end in a question? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's because Jonah did not answer back. Jonah didn't answer back. God's question. Yes, the question could have been a rhetorical question, but it's a question that went unanswered. And I asked God, why did Jonah respond? And the Spirit dropped this into my heart. God sent me words. Jonah's words did matter. Jonah's message did matter. The only thing that mattered was that God's words matter. God's words have life. The only thing about this scripture text is this, that God has the final say. You see, when man tells you it's over and quit, when man tells you to throw in the towel, all you got to remember that God has the final say. But when the doctor hands out a bad diagnosis, remember that God has the final say. I am a restorer, I am a healer, I am a deliverer, I am a mender. When the news report tells us that young people are troublemakers, remember that God has the final say. Joshua was young. He led a generation to the promised land. David was young and beat the Philistine giant Goliath. And Jesus was young. He died on an old rugged cross to save the world from its sins. You see, sin was our destiny to hell. But thank God, God had the final say. 1 Thessalonians 4:9 says, for God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 3:9 states, for God did not call us to impurity, but in holiness. You see, when we pray, when we talk to the Lord, we should allow God to have the final say. But whatever God said, whatever God said, I'll say yes, Lord, to your will and to your way. If your spirit speaks to me with my whole heart, I'll agree. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I'll trust you and obey. I'll say yes, yes, Lord, yes, whatever you tell me to do, wherever you tell me to go, I'll go. I'll do it just for you. Whatever it is, God has the final say. This is great that we need to be reminded that God has the final say. Sometimes in life, when people speak things into our life that are not true, when people speak lies, when the devil speaks lies, when the devil shares gossip, when the devil tells us something that is not true, we need to remember that God has the final say. People may tell you you can't do it. People may tell you you can't achieve it. People might tell you it's impossible. People might tell you it's not treatable. People might tell you that it's over me, that it's over. People might tell you you ain't got enough money in the bank to pay the bill. You ain't got enough people. You ain't got enough resources. You ain't got enough. But let me tell you that God has the final say. God tells us what to say. All we got to do is trust Him and believe Him. That's all we got to do is to trust in the Lord. Songwriter put it this way. I'll trust in the Lord. I'll trust in the Lord until I die. He may not come early, but He's always right on time. His words are life to me. His words inspire me. His words motivate me to move. His words motivate me to give. His words, my God, is it all right? Is it all right? Is it all right? I will trust Him in the Lord until I die. Serve Him until I die. His words matter. For God, get that into your hearts this week. God has the final say. No matter what you're going through, no matter your circumstance, God has the final say. Whatever things are happening in your life, God has the final say. Whatever situation the devil has you with, whatever situation the devil puts you through, God has the final say. The devil told Jesus he wasn't made. The devil told Jesus, I killed you. The devil told, but God had the final say. On the third day, he